to talk about the trade deadline from the Chicago side of things, as Chicago was one of the teams linked to the Guardians for names like Eric Fetty and Tommy Pham and Michael Kopech. They all now have different zip codes that are not Cleveland zip code, but we are going to go and welcome on MLB analyst for 670 The Score in Chicago, contributor for Marquee Sports, Bruce Levine, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Hey, Nick, how are you? It's a busy day. It's really gotten busy here in Chicago over the last hour.
So I did want to get to Fetty and Pham are going to St. Louis, and then Michael Kopech is part of a three-way trade going to L.A. What has the reaction been to this trade for the White Sox?
The reaction is slow to come because the White Sox haven't confirmed this deal. We've gotten confirmed that the deal is taking place, but we think there's still there's still things going on with the medicals for some of the players. So they all have to be informed first. And I don't think we have all the names yet. I think there's some names from the Cardinals that are going to be involved in this as well, beyond Tommy Edmonds. So the White Sox are giving up three of their top guys. They're going to get a haul of somewhere between five and seven guys, I believe, back in the trade.
Bruce, in terms of the Guardians and White Sox, there's been some scuttlebutt that the White Sox might not want to trade some of their better players within the division and certainly within Cleveland. Do you believe that to be so?
No, I think they were looking for the best prospects. Here's the thing that a lot of people don't understand, and that is the number 1 through 10 prospects in a certain organization aren't necessarily even close to equal to the better organizations 1 through 10. Okay? So when you hear, "Oh yeah, the White Sox got the number 5, 7 and 15 prospect from the Dodgers," that might be better than the 1, 4, and 7 from another organization. Dodgers have probably the best group of young players in baseball right now, the highest quality, many close to big league ready players in the game. And I think the White Sox were targeting the Dodgers all along here in these trades to make sure that they not only get good players, but some of the best minor league players in baseball.
Bruce, now that Fetty has been traded, that's one guy out of the rotation. Mike Clevinger, former Cleveland pitcher, also being shut down for yet another surgery for him, so his season's done. What impact does that have on the White Sox potential to move on from their young ace, Garrett Crochet?
Well, I don't think it has much to do with Crochet. Crochet is all about, are you getting the three top players from another organization that you can project being in the major leagues in the next 2 years? That's what you're going to have to get for Crochet. And now that the Dodgers have made their move, they had Kopech. I think Crochet was probably being looked at in a strong way by the Dodgers as well. But the asking price was probably too high in prospects from the Dodgers in their top 10. So, once Crochet made his comments about the fact that he is going to have to get an extension if he's going to pitch in anybody's playoffs this year, that scared a number of teams off on Crochet. He still might get traded here in the next 36 hours, but the likelihood is that in the offseason, somebody comes up with a really good package for a guy that is under contract control for the next 2 years and is considered one of the top young aces in the game just off of the 22 starts that he's had so far this year.
Bruce Levine, MLB analyst for 670 The Score in Chicago and the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So you mentioned because of this report that given his history with Tommy John, this is his first full season as a starter in the big leagues, that for him to agree to pitch in October this year, His camp would be looking for an extension right after a trade for Garrett Crochet. You mentioned that it maybe scared some teams off. Do we know the teams that might still be in on Crochet at the deadline?
Well, you know, as of late, we've been hearing that the Braves might be one of those teams that can afford to bring him in, slow roll him, not put him in a jeopardy of having to go to the bullpen. He has pretty much said he's not interested in going to the bullpen for anybody at this point to keep his innings limits down. So if he stays with the White Sox, his innings will be controlled by him being an opener, much like he did yesterday, throwing three innings and 64 pitches. That's how they're going to control his innings if he's with the White Sox. Other teams might have other ideas. Crochet has no interest in going back to anybody's bullpen. So his agents, having thrown down the gauntlet and said, hey, we need an extension here or he's not going to be pitching in the postseason, that it's given some teams pause, but it's also a part of protecting this young player from getting abused in a bullpen and breaking down again. You know, he's a guy that had Tommy John surgery 2 years ago, only threw in 25 innings all of last year, has only threw in 79 innings his entire career in the major leagues from 2020 on. Now he's past the 100 mark. So common sense tells you you got to put on the brakes. You got to slow it down. You got to protect this guy from going 175 or 200 innings. That's just not going to make sense. But he's shown no signs of wear and tear at this point. So he looks great. He's throwing the ball hard. He's a tremendous competitor who believes he's going to be a great pitcher, and he certainly started looking like that this year.
Bruce, we got Fetty, Pham, and Kopech that are off the market now once this trade goes final. What are the other pieces beyond Garrett Crochet that the White Sox could look to deal?
Well, Paul DeJong is a guy that hits home runs. He's got 18 home runs for the White Sox, plays the middle infield, shortstop, third base. A good veteran, not making a lot of money. You're going to see him going. Nicky Lopez, the second baseman. You know, there's teams looking at him periphery because he's an excellent defender and a guy that can get on base. These aren't big trades that the White Sox will make with these guys. Obviously, some of the bigger guys have already come off the board here. So the one we'll be watching the closest is if Crochet is part of a deal. And, you know, that looks like a 50-50 situation right now. It just has to be the perfect situation for the White Sox to get back the talent they want and, you know, maybe the haul that they're getting right now for the three players they traded is going to be good enough and suffice until the offseason.
No Luis Robert. I detected that name not on that list. Is he off the market?
No, not off the market. Available in the right trade. And again, the right trade is that the guy that had trouble making contact since coming back from a two-month injury this year, or the guy that hit 38 home runs last year, considered one of the top center fielders in the game. There's that in-between right now with 3 years of contract control left on Robert starting in next year. So there's some pause involved. And again, the White Sox aren't just, you know, loading these guys up and giving them away. They do not have to trade Luis Robert now. They have all offseason and beyond to trade Luis Robert after he finishes this year healthy and maybe a better look for him finishing hot in 2024.
Bruce, about halfway through June, the Guardians had 9-10 game lead in the Central. They've had their own schneid here recently, although they're still 4.5 games up with just under about 60 games to go in the regular season here. Do you think this is still the Guardians' division, or do you think the Twins, Royals, or I know the Tigers are far back, but maybe the Tigers can make a run and maybe steal this division from the Guardians?
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You know, it's really hard to say. I mean, I think that the Guardians have surprised people, but certainly the organization under Chris and the fine people, the Guardians, is no surprise. They get the most out of their players of anybody in baseball this side of Tampa, okay? Tampa's done it so well over the last 15 years. The Guardians are overlooked so many times, but they have the best front office. They do things the best way. They have great minor league development people and scouts. So no one should ever be surprised that the Guardians are up there and staying there. You know, again, money is always a situation. I wouldn't be shocked if they try to add, you know, a piece or two here before the deadline just to solidify their bullpen like everybody tries to do. But the Guardians are certainly a team to admire, and I hope that market really understands and embraces it, because it's been so difficult for the Guardian fans over the years to look at it. But my goodness, every year they're competitive without spending a lot of money. That's something to really admire.
Bruce, looking to the Cubs, they made a big trade for Paredes of Tampa Bay. They did trade one of their everyday players from the last couple of years and two prospects. What's the thought process on this Cubs deal for Paredes?
Well, they needed to shake up an offense that was lethargic at the very best, okay? It was a disappointing team that last year was sixth in runs scored in the in Major League Baseball, and has been languishing in between 22 and 25 in runs scored this year. They just played too many of the same games offensively. And Morel, who has great power and RBI ability, just was not getting it. He just struck out too much, made soft contact too often, and that has been, you know, the reason why he was traded. Paredes is a better fashion of him right now, a guy that pulls the ball, hits home runs, a little bit better as a third baseman defensively. Morel, in his first year as a third baseman, had his struggles, even though he was improving over there. So this wasn't a giveaway by any means of Paredes. They got three good players back, the young minor leaguers, the young minor leaguer they got back, and Biggie, who's got a tremendous arm and throws 98, 99 miles an hour, is a very good pitcher. So this is a trade for Tampa that signals they have a young third baseman coming in their organization, plus they, like all small markets, like the Guardians, have to save money. They're taking this brief time out, even though they're over 500, to step back in order to step forward next year, probably spend a little bit more money, and have all these great prospects that they've acquired in these trades.
All right. Can Cody Bellinger still be had at the trade deadline?
He can if you're willing to spend $58 million, and it's his call. So there's $8 million left in his contract this year. There's $30 million guaranteed next year, or he opts out. There's another $20 million the following year, or he opts out. It's totally his option. So you have to be willing to commit that $58 million in the blind to take on a player who's been hurt twice this year and really not delivered the power numbers that he did in 2023. I would say with him still coming back from the fracture in his finger, and it's a long shot that he gets dealt before the deadline.
Why have the White Sox never really challenged consistently for dominance in the AL Central?
Well, they thought they did. You know, in 2020, they went to the playoffs. In 2021, they won the division. They felt they had a window of about 3 or 4 years ahead of them, and all of a sudden you had the collapse. They went out and got some veteran pitchers that failed them, that turned out to be clubhouse lawyers that took the clubhouse down with them. They made these big trades last year. Then Jerry Reinsdorf fired Ken Williams and Rick Hahn, the front office of the White Sox that had been intact for 20 years. So changes had to be made. But it's a fair question. You know, it's a big middle market team. The White Sox are nothing close to the Chicago Cubs when it comes to revenues, but it's still a team that, at its best, should be drawing 2.5 million fans a year. And right now, this is an enormous rebuild. It's, you know, as you see, they're on record pace to possibly lose more than 120 games, which would be the all-time record. And they're light years away from contending again. But, you know, you look at the Baltimore Orioles, who were horrendous in 2021. They made a lot of stealth deals. They drafted well. It can be turned around within a couple of years. The White Sox way is trying to get as many young pitchers as they can. Now looking at this Dodger trade, you're bringing in some middle infielders as well. So with all of that in mind, you're looking at a team that is pretty much like an expansion team right now, but with a good plan and a lot of good young executives leading the way.
Bruce, great stuff, man. Appreciate you. One of these days you'll get another consistent winner in Chicago, just one of these days to cover. But in the meantime, this isn't so bad. We appreciate you, buddy.
All right.
Bruce Levine there of The Score in Chicago and Marquee Sports Network as well on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.